Well, hello. Welcome in to another fresh episode of Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio. We have a new show every week, and I'm Clara Apollo, your host this week. Last week, we had the transformational leader and TV presenter Sue Stone in. She's a mother of three grown children and a grandmother of one. And it was a fascinating conversation about managing yourself while your children are growing up. Anyway, you can listen to that on demand. But let me give you a little overview before I introduce my guests today, because I've got two very special guests for you, just waiting to share. But if you haven't listened to this show before, Mother Speaks is an unapologetic deep dive into the mother energy. Sometimes it's a bit of a stumbling journey, but that's the mother holds us through all that we do and all that we need. And this is looking at the mother energy from birthing babies, projects, children, to the expressive wisdom of Mother Earth herself. And this is a show where mothers and sometimes fathers, which we'll be getting to shortly, they meet to speak about things that matter on topics across the board, from birthing babies, as say, or projects, or performances even. You know, that birthing energy is there for all of us to be creative with. And remembering to take care of ourselves. And I know that taking the self-care piece into self-mothering has been a really big shift for me. It's just the change of a word. It's actually the change of a subtle energy that really has helped me to take care of myself better. And I know that it has for some of you as well. So we are a community called together to co-author the book Wake Up Mother, which you can find out more about on our website, wakeupmother.com. And Substack platform, wakeupmother.substack.com. But here on the radio show and podcast, we share the conversational mic between our collective circle of four creatrix mothers. And on the next show, all four of us are going to be together. But on this show, I feel like getting the trumpet out, like I did a bit when Sika was on the show. Our first man was on the show about a month ago. And on this episode, I've just got one man to share the gifts of mother with. There's two guys here. I have two very esteemed men over from America to do with the topic of Qigong and deep, deep self-care. I'm talking about Dr. Roger Janka. Hello and welcome back to the show, Dr. Roger.
Thank you, Clara. Delighted to be here. Looking forward to our time together.
Totally, totally. Always learn so much when you're in the house. And I'm always going to say conspirator or collaborator in forces of chi, William Douglas, or Bill Douglas, you might know him better as, is the founder of the World Tai Chi Qigong Day and the Global Transformation Project, is here with us as well. Welcome back into the show, Bill.
Thank you, Clara. Yeah, it's great to be here. I've really been looking forward to it. And co-conspirator means breathing together. And so I've been looking forward to breathing together with you guys. And one of the things that I just want to mention is, the science shows that people that practice mind body on a regular basis, they're more likely to be able to manifest the lives that they envision wanting to live. And when I have an opportunity to sit down with two people like you and just hang out and listen to some Beatles songs together, mm-hmm. It's like, it's all true, right? It's like I manifested this really cool thing.
Yeah, that is true. When you're in your truth, when you're aligned to your truth, then it becomes easier to manifest, because the truth, it wants to birth through you. And I know that Dr. Roger Janka, he's an Oriental medicine doctor, and he's currently the director of the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, the mind-body research and training institute that's trained over 2,000 teachers and practice leaders. So, you know, very esteemed company we have this evening. And I know that a lot of science backs up what you're talking about and what you know to be true. And science to me feels a bit like a masculine energy, quite yang, like what to find stuff out. I know it's important to have that, don't get me wrong, but we're here to talk about the mother energy. So that's why I've invited you onto the show. I was curious, there was something coming up about a question that I had around what qi was the mother of, and then Dr. Roger jumped in and gave me a very good answer about this combination between the blood and the chi, and which one was the mother and which followed the other, or something like that. What help me out here, Dr. Roger?
Sure. So in Chinese medicine, there's a declaration that is made in different ways by different people, which basically puts the qi and the blood into a direct association. And sometimes the qi and the blood are like a brother and a sister. Sometimes they're more like mothers and fathers. But the point is that they are a yin and yang duality, or two different presences of two different types of aspects of our being, qi being energy, life force, and even going into the transcendental aspect of our being, and blood being very local and a part of this body and how this body works, and probably pretty much the foundation of how this body works. In other words, if the blood is not present, then things aren't working. And one of the big classic lines is, when the chi is there, the blood is there. Or you can, it's been said the other way, when the blood is there, the chi is there. And in Chinese medicine, we do a lot of investigating pulsation of the heart through feeling the pulses. And so certain pulses give you certain information about the presence of the blood in certain parts. And if the blood is there, the qi is there. So that's a kind of a foundational ideal.
And so it feels to me like the dance, the yin yang dance. So, even though we're here focusing on mother, which is essentially yin, although all mothers have got a yang quality to them as well, but so have fathers, the yin and the yang, they are in this dance all the time. And it's easy to get overruled by doing and all of that. But actually, there's a synergy here that's quite a delicate balance as well, isn't it?
Indeed, quite delicate. So when we say that the blood is the mother of the qi, it's a little harder because of the fact that qi is always everywhere, all the time, no matter what part of the multi-galaxy system or multiverse we are in. The qi is everywhere, but the blood is only in a person. And so, one of the things that's kind of nice about that is that if you look at the qi as being kind of like, I don't know, beyond the realm of understanding, but then the blood is kind of like solid, present, nourishing, and it's got all those beautiful qualities. And of course, we don't know that blood is limited to the earth, but it's definitely more associated with the earth than it is with the sky.
Sure, for sure. We don't get many blood-rich clouds, do we? We do have the water and the blood. Or we could go off on down this avenue of support and what is of the earth and what is of spirit. And of course, our Qigong practice that brings heaven and earth together in that beautiful alchemized way. And I found that when I first got into Qigong, I never knew about it before. I used to do yoga. And I found it quite difficult for my body type wasn't really made up for that. But I knew I needed to take care of myself. And when I found Qigong, it was like something just dropped in. It's like, I recognize this as if my body's been calling me for it. And it feels to me like a missing link between, not between all the exercise forms, because it kind of adds to them, doesn't it? I think there's a mothering quality to the Qigong then that kind of helps to nurture things to work nicely together.
Yeah. So if I'm, you let me know when you want Bill to respond. But what I'll say to that is that if we look at the origins of medicine, which go all the way back to way beyond written history, probably even more than 100 or even 300,000 years, what we know is that the men were always out, trying to carry big things around and knock over large animals and so forth, while the women were basically inventing medicine. So the first thing to say is that the root of any indigenous medical system is not really a medical system at all from the point of view that we understand medicine. It's a healthcare system. And the original healthcare system in China is called Yangsheng. And Yangsheng means nourishing life. And so the foundation of well-being, because in any culture, why would you ever let anybody get sick? And so, especially in indigenous hunter-gatherer cultures and tribal cultures, the whole idea of having someone be sick, well, you have to carry that person, or they're going to be underperforming, if you know what I mean. So the point there is that nourishing life is the foundation of all medical systems. And as soon as the guys get involved, it becomes ridiculous. And,
says and a quote by a man.
Now we're living in that ridiculousness. And so my suggestion to everyone is to figure out how to give yourself permission to mother yourself.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. And this is the piece that fell in for me. And so, yeah, Bill, did you want to say something in response to that?
Well, in addition to it, and again, I apologize for bringing science into it, but the it's like cutting off my left arm to not talk about science. But the research shows that when we go into a gratitude state, they call it gratitude consciousness, it actually changes the molecular structure of the heart and the brain in positive ways, which means everything. And so learning, again, I hate to harp on science, but learning that science actually brought my own Qigong and Tai Chi practice to a whole new level, because I realized, yes, what I had kind of been feeling and been trained in, that it was a real reality. And so then that just changed everything. And I just tried to go into that state of, you know, seeing the possibility and the beauty of everything, which I think is a very feminine, you know, very yin, that receptive, you know, receiving the beauty, receiving the pleasure of our existence and the planet. And so I just find it really inspiring that, you know, however this universe got created and we got created or evolved or whatever, what a beautiful poetic way to make it so that when we enjoy our existence, because I think when I grew up, you know, it's like I thought of forgiveness, for example, or gratitude as like, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm so grateful. But you start to realize as you practice the mind body and experience the brainwave changes and stuff and the benefits and the feeling of it is that when you just enjoy, you know, so I've come to realize that Tai Chi and Qigong, it's really just about learning how to enjoy this experience of our physicality and beingness. And then we go into that gratitude, you know, that heart-centered feeling consciousness. And it's just very healing. You know, the science proves all this.
Totally. And like you said, I don't think science is a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great when it can prove what we can feel, you know, along this pathway of life, along the road of life, shall we say, which will really, we do need to get into our first track. And Dr. Roger, you're going to introduce this for us because you've chosen this one, haven't you? So could you tell us why you have and take it from there?
The long and winding road. It is a path and it is a way of being. And how we unfold that road before us, yes, has something to do with destiny. Yes, that does have something to do with genetics, but it also has something to do with our point of view, the state of our neurological and everything, all the neurotransmitters that are associated with that, which are then communicating in relationship with the chi and creating this dynamic process of unfolding one's own road.
The long and winding road that leads to your door will never disappear. I've seen that road before. crying for the dead. Why leave me standing here? Let me know.
Station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back into Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio with myself, Clara Apollo, and my esteemed Qigong men guests here over from the USA. We've got Dr. Roger Janka and William Douglas, Bill Douglas.
We're very yin men, though.
You're very yin men. That's they're only allowed on the show because they promised that they were the yin men. But, and so that track that you chose, the long and winding road, that track is so evocative. I'm so glad that you chose it. That pathway of our lives, it's all different for each and every one of us. And I don't know, somehow it links in with how you two first met. Am I right?
Yeah, after I found out, after Roger picked that song, because I almost picked that song too. And I think when I had this thought in my mind. It was me going up this kind of like little cottage steps, you know, to this wooded place that Roger lived at, and him opening the door and me coming back, the long winding road leading me back to Roger. Because 23 years ago, Roger was one of the reasons that I got the opportunity to pitch World Tai Chi Day to the National Qigong Association. And that really gave it a much larger awareness of it. And then also it was right around that time that if you remember, Roger, you may not remember because, sometimes you'll do really cool things and not remember it. But you said, Bill, why is it World Tai Chi Day? It should be World Tai Chi and Qigong Day. And then immediately, boom, that was it. But you're letting me know and inviting me to the National Qigong Association was huge on another level, too, because you had Master Li Junfeng as a speaker right before me. And he gave this speech on how the world's qi was depleted of love. And that when we practice these arts, you know, they should be infused with love. And I think it gets back to that gratitude science that I was talking about. And anyway, after we did our things, we were going, you know, it was a lunch break from the plenary session. And I was walking down the hall and he walked up to me. He didn't know me. I was a complete stranger. And he walks up to me because he'd heard me do the pitch about World Tai Chi Day. And he said, why are you doing this? He said, if you're not doing it for love, he said, don't do it at all. And, mm-hmm. and you know, the fact that a complete stranger just, you know, hit me with that it just like, it was like a crystal arrow that burned in my brain. And, you know, and then having your influence at the beginning of it, it was very formative. And so I feel that long, winding road. Here we are.
Yes, and it's spiraled back to where we are now today. And we're coming up to the World Tai Chi Qigong Day on the 29th of April. And you can find out more about that on worldtaichiday.org. But interesting that you bring up the National Qigong Association as well, because you were a founder member of that, weren't you, Dr. Roger?
Yeah, actually, I was one of two people who invented the idea when we were at a conference in Beijing, and the other party lives now in Liverpool. James McRitchie.
Yes.
And after that, Jim and I worked for a while on things, and then we brought in other people, and eventually Bill got involved and so forth. And the National Qigong Association is alive and well and dynamic today.
It is. It's this call to community is very, very strong. And with this universal energy, the qi that unifies us and connects us all, it makes sense to come together in community. And never more so important than it is now as we are forging the new earth with the ways that we are. But let's back up a little bit, because I know that both of you guys have got stories about your mothers. And I wonder if we ask, just move over to Bill now and just ask you, wasn't it your mother that inspired the World Tai Chi Qigong Day? What was the story there?
Yeah, she led to all this. I had a couple of experiences. One was when she passed away, she wrote a note wishing that she could go back and learn the arts of relaxation that I'd trained to teach her when I was younger. And that really, got things rolling. And then I had an extraordinary consciousness experience. And she actually came back through my sister after she died a few months earlier. And because I was doubting what I was doing, what I was starting to envision was this realization that, you know, that love is right at the core of everything. I didn't have 40 years of science to prove it at that time, but, you know, it was just after that experience, you know, when you have, and the scientists are starting to detect this, University of Virginia, we're going to have one of the scientists that deals with extraordinary consciousness experiences on our monthly global transformation project.org program in the fall. And so, in my own personal way, I was just coming to the realization, you know, I was just starting to learn Tai Chi and Qigong. And I just realized after that experience, you know, that everything's connected. We're all, the foundation of everything is love and connection. And so my mom nurtured that from, you know, early on and also after her death through that experience. And so I've just tried to stay true to that do whatever I can to open the space in people's, to do whatever I can in the ways that, you know, we're all trying to do that, provide information that gets people aware that they can open their consciousness to this alpha state, and it promotes this loving state, and it doesn't stop at their skulls. It spreads all over the planet and changes the whole planet.
Mm-hmm. I do remember you talking to me about that on a previous edition of Qi Time TV, which, there's a couple of episodes that you're talking about the Global Transformation Project and this story of how your mother inspired the World Tai Chi Qigong Day, and how that was just like, it was quite shocking, but quite amazing how she came through. And as you say, it really helped you to connect more and more with the love. So if you want to have a look at that, dear listeners, then that is on Qi Time TV on YouTube. But now, thank you, Bill, for sharing that about your mom. I think it's really interesting to know that the connection between our loved ones doesn't cease when they pass over.
Yeah.
And that energy of love, I feel it's the energy that connects us through all time and space and dimensions. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, that's what the science is showing. The new science that people just aren't hearing on their television sets, which is a crying shame. But our TV input, it tends to be fear-based, and it's just constant, you know, conflict, reactivity, you know, to just every incident little thing. And there's no long-term wise information coming through. And the new science is showing exactly what you were talking about. Everything's connected, and it's all connected by compassion and, you know, feelings of connection and love. And it's all science. It's just blowing my mind. You know,
well, the science backs it up, doesn't it? So let's just pull back a little bit and ask.
What the science does is it tells people out there that if you have experiences, contrary to popular opinion, you're not weird.
Okay.
You know, it's okay. Yeah. It gives you permission. It's a huge thing, really.
Yeah, it really is a huge thing because it qualifies your own experience, and
exactly.
Your own experience can't be taken away, but other people can diss it, and that's not okay because it's your experience. But when you've got the science to back it up,
it causes us to diss it when they diss it. You know, if we don't have, you know, if we don't solidify it.
Right. So we're getting that to work on behalf of the mother then, getting the science to work on behalf of the mother. And
exactly.
So in the process of doing some research for this program, actually just chatting to you guys behind the scenes and saying that bringing the topic back to mother and what that means to you. And it's something that you said, Dr. Roger, about your own mother and that realization that, you know, back in the day. Go on, you tell us. You tell us.
Yeah, well, I'm not quite remembering what I said to you, but I'll say this to you now and to everyone, is that, you know, by the fortune or misfortune of how things go, my father passed away when I was 9. And I think my mom and my dad were like, they liked each other and they had a good relationship. And so it was a hard, very hard experience for my mom. And it was, you know, as you can imagine, it was hard for me and my sister. And because my mom was so devoted to that relationship, she never really got going with somebody else. Until much later, and after which I was already well formed as a young adult and so forth. And so being in a home where the mother is doing what mothers do, and basically she acted like she was married, and she because my dad had some life insurance, she was able to like not work and so forth. And so, you know, she was a homemaker. She eventually got a job and she's a very smart person. But she was, you know, she was a homemaker. And so that whole thing, and even now in my own mind, I have like these two characters that show up. My younger teenage male self, which doesn't really like to clean up my room, and my mom's, you know, whatever she handed off to me. And so there are days when I will actually, when I wake up in the morning, I'll make my bed. And then later in the day, I think that was so cool because then when I go to bed at night, I don't have to fix it. It's already fixed. And it just feels like mom has been there, if you know what I mean. And so that nourishing energy. And I think even the fight that goes on within myself, being both yin and yang, shall we say, between the doer and the nourisher. And I know that the nourishing requires doing. And my mom's mom had a garden and I have a garden. And it's just like a really, really big part of my who I am, and getting my hands dirty. I won't show you my fingernails. Maybe you've seen it. I've been waving my hands around, but getting my hands into the earth. And one of the things that I do a lot of is try to direct water. We don't have a lot of water in this place where I live called California. And so when it rains, I'm out there with my shovel and my hoe, and I'm thinking, you know, is this, it's not the business person who would be more like my dad doing this. It's my connected to the earth default. And I'm supposing that some of that is genetic and some of that is associated with destiny, but I do credit my mom for, you know, really giving me a solid sense of motherhood and, mm-hmm. connection to the yin.
Definitely. I love that. That the nurturer, how important it is to nurture your own nurturer so that you do make your own bed. You do take care of yourself well, because without taking care of ourselves well, we're no good to anybody else. So that's a gift, yep. An absolute gift. And
yeah, that's so.
I'd like to pick up on the topic of the earth, but we need to go to another track. And this is one that Bill has suggested. And you're not going to be surprised which one it is, because he's already mentioned the word several times. So we are on our Beatles train here, because why not? So, Bill, would you like to introduce this next track and why you've chosen it?
Yeah. The Beatles, at the very closing of my book, I mentioned that the Beatles were a pivotal influence on me, because everybody loved the Beatles at my age when we were growing up. And they ended up going to India to study meditation with the Maharishi. And everybody was just watching this. And I remember that I told my mom I wanted to get a Nehru shirt, you know, and I figured my mom wouldn't know what that was, you know, because she was just an ignorant Okie woman. You know, I grew up with a couple of, you know, at that age, I thought they were just a couple of old ignorant Okies, you know. And my mom goes, oh, she goes, I loved Nehru, you know, when he was with Gandhi. she didn't even graduate. I think she got maybe sophomore. She was 2 years. She got 2 years more education than my dad did. And she knew who Nehru was. So that's how that Beatles, it just rippled through global society, this yeah. idea of meditation that nobody had ever heard of before. And then I found out that the Beatles, they'd had an opportunity to perform live on global television. It was the biggest broadcast in history. And they had an opportunity to play a song off their new album, which is what today, if a musician goes on a show, they're going to play their new album to sell albums. Beatles didn't do that. They played All You Need Is Love. They used that global audience as an opportunity to tell everybody, all you need is love. And the science is proving this. It is just so incredibly exciting. I just can't begin to tell you.
But you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time.
Station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back. What a stunning track that was. All You Need Is Love by the Beatles, as chosen by my guest here on Mother Speaks, Bill Douglas. And I'm here with Dr. Roger Janker as well, who was just before the track was talking about the earth underneath his fingernails. And do you know what? That really symbolizes something to me. When I can go and potter about with my pots outside and get earth under my fingernails, something is right with the world. And it's that communing with the Great Mother. I think it's essential for all of us. When we say we go into nature to balance ourselves, and that nature has its cycles and seasons, and each one is the mother of the one before, isn't it? You know, we can't have spring without winter, and so that acknowledging that cycles and seasons within us is really an important key to this self-mothering, this self-nurturing. And I also feel that it's the honoring of the earth. You know, we got the earth, the soil of the earth, the body of the earth, and the rooting that we go down into her, and we trust her support. But she's a cosmic object. I mean, from a distance, our earth looks like a star in the sky. I mean, that blew my mind away. So, you know, we are here at a pivotal point in humanity, and I would love your opinions on how you feel we are potentially progressing towards the best case scenario, and what we can do to enable that to happen from an individual perspective that can then combine and make a more global potential occur. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, like women, we're going to step back and let the guys step forward.
We're trying to be just as darn yin as we can. I'm going to be more of the yin than you.
Put you on the spot there.
Well, I'm going to be less yin, because it just made, as you were talking about it, it made me think of my youngest granddaughter, and she takes the school bus to school. And one thing Tai Chi and Qigong, you know, and meditation and mindfulness and all these things have really brought me to is seeing the macrocosm and the microcosm. Yeah, and I'm sure, Roger, you probably do this all the time. You know, you'll see something in the world and you go, oh, that's going to be a great object lesson for class. You know, it's like you're just constantly bringing the world into that and then bringing the class into the world. And so anyway, our granddaughter, she takes school bus school, and she's been having a problem with a couple of bullies. And one girl, she's like a habitual bullier. And so my son and my daughter-in-law, they're trying to work it all out and everything. But, you know, if you talk, I've taught Tai Chi and Qigong in public education off and on for decades. And when you talk to school psychologists, one of the real common phrases that they share is hurt people, hurt people. And I see that because I did a little bit of bullying when I was young, not a lot, but I did a little. And it was always when I was having tremendous turmoil in my home, because my dad was a World War II veteran, 3 years frontline combat. And so that was it was like I was my stress management when I did that was bullying another kid. And so I started to realize, you know, that there's a lot of hurting going on in the world, and mm-hmm. people feel a lot of chaos. And there's a lot of division, and you know, there's certain aspects of society that promote division and fear and all that kind of stuff because it makes money. But we're all looking for a truer existence. And if we could just think of a way where we could give kids access to tools that we know alleviate their pain, and as it alleviates their pain, it lessens their tendency to be bullies. And, you know, if there was just a way that we could just, you know, provide those tools to kids all over the planet in some efficient way, we could really just let this mothering, nurturing aspect of every human being on the planet, because if those kids can let go of that pain, then they just naturally become more nurturing And we know that because when we practice mind body, our empathy and compassion parts of our brain gets larger and our fear and stress parts of our brain get smaller. So if there was just a way that we could impart those tools to kids all over the planet.
Yeah, totally. And I think the kids respond to it so well. And I know that your Global Transformation Project is big on all of this. You can find out more about that via the worldtaichiday.org, but also Global Transformation Project and your book, the Gospel of Science. But I want to ask Dr. Roger what he's thinking about all this moving forward. So I remember on the last interview that we did, you were saying, look, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't. But surely while we're here, and we have a chance to make a difference, however small that might be, in the right direction, isn't it worth going for it?
Indeed. And, you know, the three of us here, I think, are exemplars. So we've got Clara, who is busy with the whole process of reaching out and inspiring people to be curious. We have Bill, who've created a worldwide event that's been going on for 20 years or so that spreads these kinds of ideas and supports these ideas from the point of view of, wow, you know, here we are in Pakistan and they're doing this in Kansas and they're doing this in UK. And the work that we do at the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi training people, I realized early on, I'm a doctor of Chinese medicine. I stopped practicing clinically because people weren't getting it. You know, they just wanted to use me like they use all their doctors to basically solve all their problems without being any more informed about the possibilities of their own nature. And so then I thought, well, I'll just wrote a couple of books about Qigong and Tai Chi. And so I'll inform people that way, and I'll lead classes and go to retreat centers and so forth. But then I realized that's just a couple of people at a time. And so what would happen if we trained teachers and practice leaders? And so you mentioned that we've trained 2,000. Actually, it's over 3,000 now. People all over the world who are, many of them are working with veterans. They're working at hospitals. They're working in school systems. Some of them are entrepreneurial. Many of them are doing what we're doing now, which is teaching. They do their Qigong classes on Zoom or any other kind of platform like that. So, but then to take it back for just a moment, you know, that's the thing that people like us do. But for the average person, what can they do? Because I think that people are confused. And I really want to just put out the whole idea that at the bottom of everything else, nourish yourself. And that might be, well, like if we thought about this, you know, 4 years ago, let's say, nourishing yourself would be a kind of, shall we say, a luxury. You know, we don't learn nourish ourselves. The world is going to work fine. You know, the supply chain is going to be great. If I get sick, I'll just go to the medical system. But now, as we are confronted by the fact that the socioeconomic, geopolitical, industrial complexes are basically collapsing the potential for average people to thrive. And the fallback systems of more socialized nations, those systems are not doing as well as we had hoped. So the whole idea of having a pay-for healthcare system or a free healthcare system, the problem is that none of them are healthcare systems. They're all medical product delivery systems. And what's weird about it, and Bill, I hope you don't mind if I just challenge science for a moment. What science is doing is proving what humans already knew. So I'm thrilled that science is proving what people already knew, but let's think of it this way too. Science actually made us believe that what we already knew wasn't correct. And so new science proving old things being useful for average people, very powerful. But then just returning to those old things in the absence of science, I know certain people have to have science to be able to make that return. But I'll just speak for myself. Being in relationships with Native American medicine people and master teachers from China and other wizards from other disciplines has that for me, the root is not so much looking at science. The root is using the practice and being a scientist. I am a scientist in the lab of my own being. And I know that for people who don't understand that, they need science. And so no argument. I think the gospel of science is very, 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 very powerful and useful. And, but it's just interesting that what it's doing is just proving what we already knew.
Mm-hmm. So is this what the mother already knows? Just wondering if you've got anything to add to that, Bill, around people being able to really present themselves in what's being required of us now that will add to what Dr. Roger has already said.
Yeah. Well, kind of the point that I've come to, over the decades is just realizing, because I've been in the healthcare system as well, Roger. And I've been a big proponent of, like at worldtaichide.org, we have like tips on how teachers can get into healthcare or corporate wellness or senior care, because the work you did with National Council on Aging, Roger did some amazing organizing with National Council on Aging. But I've just come to terms with the reality that, in my classes, I'm getting people that are already tangled up in a big web of pharmaceuticals and have had different kinds of surgeries that they're trying to, get back from and all this kind of stuff. And it just always, every time I see it, it just brings me back to, because they do what you've talked about is they come to you like a regular doctor to try to fix their problem. And I always encourage them, let go of trying to fix your problem. Just learn how to enjoy your existence, because the science shows that that's what's gonna heal you. Yes. And so, it's just like, I just keep getting brought back to, okay, like when you're doing push hands, it's like you're feeling your partner. For me, it's kind of like a dance. It's not like a competition. You're feeling your partner, and then you feel when they're off, and you know that it would just take just a little slight push for them to go reeling backwards. And so you just start to get used to that woo way, where you find that little spot where you could just a little shove could have this maximum impact. And, and it brought me to this idea of, if the mind body community all over the planet, if we could all pull together and just add, hundreds of thousands of signatures behind this petition to get the UN General Assembly to vote in a resolution to advocate mind-body education, so that these kids in school, they would be finding their own solutions, and they would all be geared towards the greater whole, because that's what happens in the brain when they go into those states. And then we just let the wave take its course. And so we're not fixing everything, because that's so overwhelming, especially where the world is right now. And just one thing about the science, it's kind of a weird schism, because the media doesn't report the science that I'm talking about. Because if you look at the original quantum physicists, they were very spiritual people. They saw the spirituality of the universe. They saw no war between spirituality and self-discovery and physics. That they saw it. It was evident in their research as well as their own personal experiences.
Big topic.
And so, I think that, the media has kind of concocted a competition, between spirituality and science. Because I think that the early creators of yoga and Tai Chi and Qigong, I think they were high scientists. They were observing nature from the inside out. And I think Western medicine is so far behind what they've created. But we're getting much closer to we're at the point now where we know that they were right. Western science now knows that they were right, but this isn't the science that anybody's going to hear and see. And so thank God there's programs like this where people can at least get a little bit of exposure to it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And just from what you were saying about the whole healthcare system or the disease management system, because I used to be a nurse, you know, back in the day. I couldn't work in the National Health Service here anymore, though I do, you know, really respect our doctors and nurses. But, where's the preventative healthcare? Where's the education for self-care? And that piece about taking responsibility for your own health is what the mother would do. Mother would help you when you've cut your knee, when you've got a sore throat. You've got to learn to do that for yourself. Learn to mother yourself, which takes us in this full spiral back to where we began on this program. So thank you so much, Dr. Rajajanka, for being part of the show. How can people find out more about what you do? Where can they go?
Yeah, so let's make it fairly simple. If you go to YouTube and put in The Tai Chi and Qigong Way, there's lots of really interesting YouTubes there. The Tai Chi and Qigong Way. You could put my name there, Roger, Jahnke, and it might get you to that very quickly. One of those videos has 2 million views. And then the website is very easy to say. It's IIQTC. .org, IIQTC .org. That's the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being part of Mother Speaks.
Pleasure.
And as always, and to Bill Douglas as well, you know, we've already said that people can find out where you are at the worldtaichiday.org. And please come in to doing some Tai Chi and Qigong on the 29th of April. There's going to be a whole worldwide thing going on. It's an amazing wave that happens around the earth, isn't it? It's just a phenomenal experience. You want to say something about that briefly?
Yeah, I just add, Roger is just a brilliant Qigong teacher. His approach is so accessible. And he's changed the lives of people all over the planet. So I really encourage people to go check out Roger's sites.
Yeah. Absolutely. So if you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Mother Speaks, please tell your friends. And you can listen again on demand here on ukhealthradio.com or on our podcast stream on all the major platforms. And we also have a Spotify playlist handily called Mother Speaks, containing tracks from the shows so far and the ones that we want to share with you. So Mother Speaks is part of our Wake Up Mother community, and you can find out more about that on wakeupmother.com with our interactive portal at wakeupmother.substack.com, where you can catch up with the latest Wake Up Mother news, including listening to us on Mother Speaks Unplugged. So thank you. Thank you so much, guys, for being part of Mother Speaks. I really appreciate your time and your presence and your wisdom here.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for letting me on your show, Clara. It's one of the best shows I've ever been on.
Oh, bless you. And next week, myself and Sarah and Zoe and Kathy are going to be back with a roundup of the show so far, because we've now been broadcasting for 3 months together and there's so much that's been coming through. So look out for that. And up next on the UK Health Radio's rolling stream of healthy shows, it is the Menopause Sisters. So remember that you have a vast, untapped, fertile field of mother energy within you, regardless of what or how you choose to mother. It's just waiting to be honored by you, for you, and for the rich families or books, music and projects that you are co-creating. Thank you so much for listening to Mother Speaks.